Ephesians chapter number 4. I know we read this verses last Sunday, but I would like to read them again, just for emphasis on what we're studying right now for the last several weeks now, and it's all about knowing what's right and what's wrong, the false and the error versus the right and the proper. Okay, Ephesians chapter number 4, let's read verses 11 to 18, please. If you could read it along with me as I read verses 11 to verse 18. In verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity in their mind, of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. May the Lord God bless the reading of his word this afternoon. Thank you. You may be seated. So if you notice, the leaders of the church were actually given by God. Do you agree? And they were given by God. Look at the end of verse 11 there. It's and some pastors and teachers. Okay? It did say there are some pastors and teachers. But it says some pastors and teachers. Right? That's just one person. The one office, pastors and teachers. Because a pastor is expected to be a teacher as well. All right? And what are they there for? What are the pastors here for? Just to lead so that there's harmony in the body of Jesus Christ. In verse 12 it says, therefore the what? Perfecting of the saints. Right? Perfecting of the saints means it's for the maturing of the saints. For our maturity, that's what it is. Okay? And so when they preach and teach, it's for our own good. Because we become mature in the faith. And it says, therefore, the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then it says there in verse 14, why is this that there's a need to mature the believers? Because in verse 14 it says there, so that we henceforth be no more children. That we mature from where we were when we first got saved. We mature and so that we're not tossed to and fro by doctrines, by the sleight of men. And so if we listen to several preachers, okay, and they teach one and they teach several gospels, guess what? If we don't know the truth, we will all be deceived. It's easier for us to be deceived. And so it says there, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's exactly the role of false teachers, is to deceive many. Okay, those that want to be deceived, or not want, but those that are not necessarily established and grounded in the truth, which is the Bible. All right? So, So we finished the New Testament survey of all the false teaching, the false teachers, and apostasy. And today, we're going to take a look at, let's first start in the book of Matthew, chapter number 7, please. Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7, and we'll read verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. Okay, we've talked about this in the past, just in passing. Okay, judge not that ye be not judged. So therefore, we're told not to judge, right? Correct? Yes, we're told not to judge, but there's this judgment here is every scripture verse should be read in its context, and we are to properly understand the true meaning of the verse. So if we don't study the whole context, guess what? Then we will say, yeah, it's not right for us to judge. We cannot judge. But what is that the context saying there? Let's move on in verse 2. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. See, did you see the context here? So if we just look at verse 1, then yeah, it says there, let's not judge. But this is referring to not judging others, okay? But it says there, don't judge your brother or sister if you're guilty of the same sin. That's what we call hypocritical judgment, right? Hypocritical judgment. So you're all critical about your brother, okay? His this and that. But guess what? You're guilty of the same sin. Okay, that's hypocritical judgment. And therefore, we're told not to judge in this context of hypocritical judgment, right? So those who cling to judge not that you be not judged to condemn those who expose error should read the entire chapter. And Jesus said in verse 15 there, it says there, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Right? Now, how can we know false prophets unless we judge them by the word of God? Okay? So we are to judge them by the word of God. And this is only our basis, by the way, basis of judging others, false teachers. And if it's not there, guess what? We can't. Okay, that's being hypocrite, right? All through the Bible, we find proof that they should be identified and exposed. Guess what? The Bible says you shall know them. How? By their fruits. That's correct. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit in verse 16 and 17, right? See, did the Lord mean that we could not judge the person or the tree by the fruit, by their life and doctrine? Certainly not, right? For you cannot know without judging. All judgment then should be on the basis of Bible teaching, not according to our own whims and prejudices. Okay, so if it's just based on what we think, on our own personal opinion, and there's no basis at all, guess what? We can't. We can't judge a person like that. But we have to judge it. In verse 24, it says there, this is where that thing comes in, right? Or in verse 17. John chapter 7, not Matthew. John chapter 7, verse 24. John chapter 7, verse 24 says, judge not according to the appearance. But what does it say there? But judge righteous judgment. So we're told not to, well, in Matthew chapter 7, we're told not to judge. But there's a qualification there. Okay, the following context qualifies that verse 1. That we're not supposed to judge based on hypocritical judgment. Okay, but in John chapter 7, verse 24, judge not according to appearance, but it says there, judge righteous judgment. Here our Lord commands that we are to judge righteous judgment. What is righteous judgment, by the way? Exactly, thank you. We are to judge based on the Word of God, based upon the Word of God. If judgment is made upon any other basis other than the Word of God, guess what? It is a violation of Matthew chapter number 7 and verse 1, where it says, judge not, lest you be judged. All right? So, Webster's dictionary says that a judge is one who declares the law. The faithful Christian must discern or judge on the basis of God's inspired law, which is the Bible. Right? So, we need to know exactly what's right. Okay? And what's right is in the Bible, right? Then that's why it's important for us to read the Bible so that we can know what's right. And if we start to say, look at things that's not necessarily what's in the Bible, then we know we can judge that it is an error. It's false, right? And so that's exactly why we're encouraged to, we're admonished, and we'll talk about that too. False teachers are free to spread their poisonous doctrines today because, guess what? There's a conspiracy of silence among Bible-believing Christians. There's a conspiracy of silence. People, Christians that know the truth are not doing anything to stop these false teachers, to stop the error that's going on in the churches, right? And so we must do our part in helping the leadership of the church, pastor, right? Although that's his responsibility to weed out the whatever might destroy the flock, might ruin the flock, but we're also there because we study the Word of God. We know exactly what's right. We know what's wrong. And we can exercise judgment. That's what it is. So Jesus said, the religious Pharisees, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. You see, that was Jesus Christ talking. He called them, oh, the Pharisees, oh, generation of vipers. That's a strong word, isn't it? He called them vipers. What are vipers? Snakes, right? You call a person snake, guess what? You might end up in jail, right? And so that's how Jesus actually called them, right? In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. To many evangelicals and some fundamentalists, that would be unacceptable language today. You will be labeled as unkind, as unloving, and unchristian. Right? And so then, because we're going to be labeled as unkind, unchristian, unloving, that we're not supposed to judge error, okay? So it says there, standing face to face with these false teachers, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, called them hypocrites. He called them blind guides. He called them blind. He called them what? Whited sepulchres, right? He called them serpents. He called them generation of vipers. Yet we are told today that we are to fellowship with men whose doctrines are just unscriptural as those of the Pharisees. Is it right? That's the question, right? Now, some who say they are Bible-believing Christians insist on working with those that are heretics. Heretics are straying away from the truth, from what they've received. Okay, but Yet, according to many, we are not supposed to rebuke them for their compromise, which is a wrong stand for Christians. We're supposed to rebuke them. If we know the truth and if we know the error and they're doing such error, guess what? We need to tell them the truth. We need to stand by the truth. But guess what? If you cannot stand upon the word, upon the truth, if you don't know the word of God. Okay? So therefore we're encouraged, okay? So near the beginning of his ministry, remember that when he went to Jerusalem, when Jesus Christ went to Jerusalem, he found the temple that and oxen are sold, sheep and doves are sold, and there's changers of money changers sitting, right? And when he made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take this thing's hands, make not my father's house an house of merchandise. In John chapter 2, verse 13 to 16. You see, our Savior is presented today as one who is meek, as one who is lowly, as one who is kind, and who is loving. And we don't have a problem with that. We agree with that. But the only thing that we don't agree is that they say the false teachers and prophets, you have to love them too, right? So to love them is not necessarily entirely true. It's false, right? When dealing with false teachers and prophets, Jesus Christ was harsh. Jesus Christ was sharp in his words and in his action plans against them. So if Jesus Christ hated these false teachers, why shouldn't we? If Jesus Christ actually pointed them out, why shouldn't we? That's the question, right? And near the end of his public ministry, that was during the beginning of his ministry, in the end of his ministry, Christ found it necessary to cleanse the temple once again. In Mark chapter 11, verse 17, it says there, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Ye have made it a den of thieves, Mark 11, verse 17. Now, my question to you is it any different today? Is it any different today? The thieves come into the house of God and robs people of the Bible, of our belief, and peddle their perverted Bibles instead, their perverted teachings. Okay, when I say perverted Bibles, you know what those are, right? We've gone through that study as well. Okay, anything that's any translation that's actually translated out of the erroneous Greek text, which is the Westcott and Hort, right? Those are corrupt because the root is in itself is corrupt. Okay, but if it's from the TR, right, the Textus Receptus, it's the right thing. But we're not saying, well, we're King James only believers. No, we're not King James only. But if there's actually one that's translated out of the Textus Receptus, we can use that as well, right? And therefore, if we compare our King James with the other versions, the other versions have omitted some chapters, omitted some verses, and changed some words to change the meaning and weakens the doctrine that we believe in. Okay, even as far as the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ, right? They've attacked that. And so why would we use something that's corrupt in the first place? That's a question that we need to answer ourselves, right? So in our day, these false teachers have come into the churches with their books, with their music, with their literature, with their movies, their psychologists and seminars, and have turned the Father's house into a den of thieves. It is time that men of God, Christians, stand up and expose their errors for all to see. Don't you think so? Okay, so the Bible admonishes us to expose error. See, admonish is not just to encourage us or suggest to us, right? It's not. Admonish means to warn us firmly or urge us earnestly. It's not a suggestion. As a matter of fact, if we read one, my first point is we are to try them. We are to try them. Now, if we read this verse, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, is this a suggestion? Let me ask you a question. Is this a suggestion? It says there, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. On what basis? On God's word. Exactly. So there has to be a basis of what we believe in. Because if I believe in something, but I have no basis of it, it's just a preference. I prefer to do that, okay? But if I'm different from everybody else, it's my preference, okay? But if it's based on the word of God, guess what? I have a basis of my belief. Do you have a basis of your belief? So we are to try them. All doctrine and teachers are to be tried according to the word of God. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. There is no light in them. Okay? And so, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, by the way. So every message, every messenger, every method is to be judged according to the word of God. It's to be judged according to the word of God. You see, the church at Ephesus was commended because they had what? Tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. See, they judged them. They said, no, you're liars. Why? Because it's not in the word of God what they're teaching. Okay? And then the church at Pergamos was rebuked because they tolerated those that held the doctrine of Balaam. What's the doctrine of Balaam? They were teaching not to eat food offered to idols, right? That's the doctrine of the Balaam. And it says there, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, whatever, right? Which thing I hate in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15. You see, it is never right to tolerate false teachers. Because if we do, there's a big chance we can be influenced by them. We can be influenced by them. So, of course, those who want to disobey the word of God will seek by every means to avoid this teaching, to withdraw from them, right? Number one, we are to try them. And number two, we are to mark them and avoid them. It's not just marking them, knowing them, basically, but we are also to admonish to avoid them. In Romans 16, verse 17, let's go there, please. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Right? Avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You see how important it is to really mark them and avoid them. Mark them means know them. Okay? Those whose conduct and teachings contradicts the word of God are to be marked and are to be avoided by us, right? So this requires, though, discernment and judgment in the light of the Bible. Number one, we are to try them. Number two, we are to mark and avoid them. And number three, in Titus chapter number 1, verse 13, it says there, "Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be of sound faith." We are to rebuke them, number three. We are to rebuke them. This was written to Titus, and we've gone through the book of the study of Titus as well, right? Okay, I'm hoping that this was an encouragement to you guys, because it is. It shows us exactly who these people are, what they do, and how we can avoid them, right? So, this was written to Titus because there were those going from house to house and subverting whole houses with false doctrine in verses 10 and 16 in Titus chapter number 1, all right? I'll tell you this, though. So many evangelists, okay? So many evangelists around that if we're not careful, guess what? We're going to be indoctrinated as well by their doctrines, okay? They are subverting whole houses with this false doctrine. How? How are they subverting these houses? Through the television. Television through the radio, because we're free to open our television and open the radio, right? Switch on the radio, and we're free to listen to them. But if we're not careful, though, they will subvert your house. The Bible says clearly, and subvert whole houses. Now we're clear. We know how to avoid them in the churches, but when we are at home, guess what? Our guards are down. Our guards are down. Now, we take every doctrine, every teaching that we listen to without necessarily knowing exactly what the truth is. And we should be like the Bereans, right? The Bereans searched the scriptures to know if these things were true. Whatever was being preached is true. So we are to rebuke them. Are we to sit silently by while they do this? They come into our homes, right? Without rebuking and admonishing people to avoid their teaching? No. The faithful servant of the Lord is to be holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, what? Both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers in Titus chapter number 1, verse 9. So we are to try them, we are to mark and avoid them, we are to rebuke them, and fourthly, we are to have no fellowship with them. We are to have no fellowship with them. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Reprove them. Reprove them, right? Reprove means to censure, to condemn, to find fault, to rebuke, and to refute. Now, my question is, how can we obey the scripture unless we try them by the word of God? Right? And so, it's important that we study the word of God. Fifthly, in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6, let's go there, please. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6 says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us." Okay, so fifthly, we are to withdraw from them. We are to withdraw from them, right? We are to withdraw from those whose doctrine and conduct does not conform to the word of God. To the word of God. See, the context clearly shows that obedience to sound doctrines is what Paul has in mind. For he says, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and what did he say? Note that man, mark them, right? And have no company with them, and avoid them. That's the same thing, right? Note that man and have no company with him. Sorry. My thing is giving up on me. There you go. So we are to withdraw from them. We are to withdraw from those whose doctrine and conduct does not conform to the word of God. The context clearly shows that obedience to sound doctrine is what Paul had in mind. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet, he says, count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a what? As a brother. Right? As a brother. 2 Thessalonians 3, 14-15. Paul admonished Timothy to withdraw thyself from those who consent not to wholesome words and to the doctrine which is according to godliness in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 and 5. Sixthly, we are to turn away from them. We are to turn away from them. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 5 and 7, this is concerning the last days, he says that some will have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. The Bible says, from such turn away. From such turn away. For such people are never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Of the truth in 2 Timothy 3, 5 and 7. Now, how can we turn away from them if we do not identify them? If we do not mark them? Right? If we do not note that man, it says there in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, it is the business of the true preacher to, what? Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. This is usually an unpopular and thankless task, but it is the duty of God-called man, okay, to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. It's not only the man of God, by the way. It's also us Christians, okay? Us Christians were supposed to do the same thing. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with long-suffering. And doctrine, right? So, next one. We are not to receive them into our house. We are not to receive them into our house. In 2 John 10 and 11, it says there, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, right? And bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. 2 John 10 and 11. So there is no doubt who John is speaking about. Is there? We know who it is, right? Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, in verse 9. Okay? So by radio, by TV, and literature, false prophets are brought into the homes in many Christians today. Folks, this ought not be. This ought not be. We are to be careful. Let's not bring these false teachers into our homes. We are not to receive them into our house. Now, also, we are to reject heretics. Titus chapter 3 and verse 10, it says there, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. See how important it is? Give them just two chances. Reprove them, and if they don't change, guess what? Reprove them again. If they still don't change, what do we have to do? Throw them out of the assembly, right? Withdraw from them. Avoid them altogether, right? We should reject those who deny redemption by the blood of Christ. There are many who deny this or some other doctrine of the word of God, and if they do not respond by being admonished, guess what? They are to be rejected. They are to be rejected. We are to look out for those who preach another gospel. I thought there's only one gospel. Right? I thought there's only one gospel. But we are to look out for those who preach another gospel. In 2 Corinthians 11:4, let's go there, please. 2 Corinthians 11:4. I thought we're going to be able to finish this study today, but obviously not. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4, it says there, For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Okay? So there, Paul was saying here, if somebody else preaches another Jesus, preaches another gospel, preaches another spirit than that which we have received, guess what? We have to avoid. How can we know that unless we judge their Jesus? We judge their spirit. We judge their gospel by the word of God. So Paul called such preachers false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ in 2 Corinthians 11:13. He explains in verse 14 and 15 that these preachers are the ministers of Satan, right? 2 Corinthians 11:13, verse 14, it says there, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So Paul called such, so he called them such false apostles, deceitful workers. The God called men must be just as faithful today in exposing the ministers of Satan. Paul warned that in the Galatians about those who pervert the gospel of Christ. He also said, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have reserved, guess what? Let him be accursed, anathema. Okay, let him be accursed. Multitudes today are preaching perverted gospel. Those who teach salvation by baptism, those who teach salvation by works, those who teach by works are teaching a perverted gospel. A perverted gospel. Why? Because the Bible does not say that, right? It says otherwise. Okay? And our salvation is simple enough that anybody can do it. We don't have to add into the plan of God, okay, for us to be saved. All he asks of us is by faith, by grace, through faith. Amen. And that not of ourselves. Salvation is the gift of God. Amen. All right? So, all right, well, let's stop there. I've got one more, and then we'll go through those in the Bible that were publicly exposed. Okay, publicly exposed by Paul. All right. So, any questions? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Okay. Yes, I will. And by the way, thanks for letting me know. I kind of stop myself from doing that because For some, it might be offensive. No, it is. It is. Okay, and I'll tell you this. Okay, and we're going to go through some that are teaching the false gospels and the errors, right? Oral Roberts, you know him, right? Robert Schuller, Jimmy Swaggart, Pat Robertson. Okay, those are what comes into your homes. Okay, and if we're not careful, we will be indoctrinated by them. We'll be influenced by them. All right. So those are just examples, by the way. And there's many more. There's many more people that are teaching that Jesus Christ is not God. By the way, you know a lot of those that are teaching Jesus is not God. And guess what? The Bible says Jesus is God. But they claim Jesus is man, and we don't have a problem with that. We agree Jesus is man. He is 100% man, but he's also 100% God.